How's your love life? Don't complain that you and the wife ain't having no time together when you can't halfway speak to each other through the week. There was a prophecy that came out of Azusa Street. Pastor Becky, you can help me remember this, that there'd be an overemphasis on power gifts and no submission to the Lordship of Christ. There'd be an overemphasis on praise and worship to a God we don't talk to all week long. And we're living in that era right here. God help me today. Can't get blood out of a turnip. Amen. Can I tell you what? You can't get the flow out of you when it ain't going on inside of you. Amen. Christ is inspecting his church. Only the head of the body has a right to inspect the church and know its true condition. And here Jesus, as he will do all seven churches, is going to give you an x-ray of what's going on inside of his church. Are you willing to come under an x-ray? Are you ready for the Lord to inspect highest praise? Amen. And reveal your true condition. And I guarantee you, it's probably not going to be how you see yourself. Amen. Again, I want to reiterate, it is individuals that determine the spiritual life of the church. But Ephesus is a careless church made up of careless people who neglect their love for Christ. I got to say that again. Ephesus is second generation. By the way, the church of God right now is in the fourth generation. The Bible said that the children will suffer from the sins of their fathers down to the second, third, and fourth generation, the word declares. But the church of God is in its fourth generation, and the power of God is dying in the denomination. And we're closing churches three times faster than what we're opening them. And it's not because they don't love Jesus. I'm just going to be honest with you. Are we guilty of that same neglect? A neglected fire will always go out. Are we guilty of the church has enjoyed some great leadership in the church? The lines have fallen unto me in goodly places. I have a goodly heritage. You got Paul coming through this church. You got Timothy coming through this church. And you got John himself, who spent his last years as an apostle upon this earth pastoring this church. This church was addressed 30 years after Paul pastored it. If you can imagine that. The Lord has placed the stars where he pleased. Amen. And it's not time for the church. You know, I don't think it's time. We need to let Moses die in this church. You've had good pastors in the past that have built this church up to where it needs. Moses is gone, but Joshua is here. Let Moses die in this church. My God, it's time for new leadership to come forward in this house and take this house to where it needs to go. Amen. And as I research the word, I don't want to forget the labor of the pastors in times past that have come through here. Teachers that were God's gifts to the church. I want to remind you, if you fall out of love with Christ, God can take them out of your midst at any given time. Amen. I had people come by Mebane before I came here and prophesied to the house that either you get behind this pastor or God will move him. I watched it happen. Me and my wife saw it happen. Amen. God is not going to send me here to progress while you flounder. Can I say that again? God is not going to send me here to progress. I am a progressing pastor. I'm not floundering. I'm going from victory to victory, from glory to glory, and from triumph unto triumph. But I tell you what, godly leadership can be snatched away from here at any given moment, and you can lose godly leadership in your church and lose the leadership of the Holy Ghost and be given over to politics. My God, I get old. God, don't let me go there. Ephesus, desire one. Most desirable of all the churches. If you're a dispensationalist, it parallels with the parable of the sower. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. The whole continent of Asia heard the word of the Lord in 2 years, where there was no mass media, no journalism, no periodicals, and no newspaper. It was all done by word of mouth. But at the end, the whole continent of Asia rejected the Apostle Paul. Amen. When everybody forsook him and fled, the Lord stood by him and gave him strength. It had the largest percentage of Jewish converts that made up this church. One of the factors that made it so strong, it was marked by Jewish leadership. When it got into Gentile leadership, it fell off into paganism at times. But Jewish leadership marked great characteristic of the church age. We owe much to the Jew. Amen. For giving us the Bible, our Savior, Jesus Christ, all this. Can I tell you, I got a little Jew living in me. How about you? Amen. Thank God for the contribution that Jewish leadership has made to this church. Amen. If you notice this, it was one of the finest and largest churches in New Testament times. Population of over 250,000. If you want to know the truth about it, had a seaport that was there. But you know what's amazing? When they lost their first love, and they literally moved away from that simplistic love for Christ, God caused silt to fill in their seaport, and they lost their energy, their industry. Amen. At this time, you've got the Temple of Diana, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, right here in this metropolitan city. The city has been given over to the worship of the goddess of Diana, and the Apostle Paul ran into this problem while there at Ephesus. Amen. Move on here for a second. Amen. Ephesus, all of Asia, and the world worship, Acts 19:25 through 27. Again, I've mentioned it was the ringleading city for the occult. Paul had been in the habit of going from house to house, warning men night and day with tears that after his departure, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and out of your own midst will arise crooked men who will speak twisted and distorted things and draw disciples after them. Can I tell you, can I preach here for a moment? How come the charlatan has more influence over you than the pastor of the church? Can rise up in your midst and speak twisted and distorted things and cause a church split. Wrong people put in wrong positions lead to church splits. Amen. And you can tell them I said so. You don't put a novice in the position lest they get lifted up in their pride and fall in the condemnation, the snare of the devil. Wrong people in wrong positions can split this church at highest praise. It's done it in the past, and you lost the whole generation. You can't afford to play with it anymore. Amen. I'd tell him if he was sitting right there. Amen. It ain't right. It ain't order. But I'm through crying over the past. I'm ready to get on with the future of the church. Amen? Lord, have mercy. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but this church believed in evangelism. John Wesley warned the Methodist church when they were in the early throes of Methodism that if they lost the passion for evangelism and lost the centrality of the Word of God, that Methodism would die. Can I tell you, in the Church of God, we are depending more upon transfer growth than we are conversion growth. We have lost the ability to win people to Jesus. And we're not bringing sinners to church. And our idea of evangelism, maybe pastor will have a real word he can preach this morning and they'll get saved. Friend, I'm preaching the best I can preach and my altars are still empty. Because the corporate anointing is not about you being fed. It's about you making a deposit. There is an individual anointing and a corporate anointing. When it gets to the corporate anointing, you put your anointing together with mine, we break yokes. This is not about you coming out getting fed all the time. But I tell you, I feel this from the Lord. I believe God wants to do a new thing in this church. He's doing a new thing in this church. And I believe God wants to take you where you've never been. And God wants you to go where no man's ever gone before. And the sky's the limit. Amen. So let's get busy telling the story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. My God, move on here for a moment here. It's addressed to the angel. He's Christ's messenger. I'm going to say this, I want you to hear me. If Christ's message is not in this church, you're not the church. I'm sick of you got prophets, playboys for prophets. I'm sick of churches that can read from Reader's Digest and nobody sitting in the pew will know the difference. My God, if Christ's message is not in this church, you're not the church. You will not go in the rapture. If the Holy Spirit is not here, you're not the church. For where you find the Holy Spirit, the church is a creation of the Spirit. You're not a product of the flesh. Amen. How many know we need men of God with backbone filling our pulpits that are ready to preach the word so that dead, dry bones can live again? Amen. It speaks of Christ's absolute rulership in the church. Amen. No challenging his authority. If I'm here by his authority, don't buck. You're not resisting me. You're resisting the one that sent me to the church. Amen. And again, I'm going to tell you, he's the author of the message. I didn't get it off Sears and Roebuck. I got it down on my knees while I was in prayer. Amen. He said, tell this to my house. Tell this to my church. Preach it, son. And I tell you what, I'm going to do it or die. I told my wife going to lunch, I either want God to either change us or kill me. I'm at that point of death. I can't do cute church with you. I am dead serious about what I preach. And I tell you, I relive it 1,000 times over through the week. I either want God to give this Holy Ghost revival to this church, or I want God to call me home because I can't take another broken heart again. Amen. Loren Livingston at Central came out of his office. For so long he had tried to keep the city of Myers Park women civilized in church. Didn't want nobody to get ashamed of the power of God. And he stood there and watched car after car leave his driveway. And the Holy Ghost knocked him up against the wall and says this, you're standing in the way of what I want to do in my house. And Loran went to the pulpit. He says, tonight, if you want to shout, I want you to shout. If you want to talk in tongues, I want you to talk in tongues. And that night, Telly Blanchard and his wife were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost unto service. And we like church as long as we can control it. But you let God, and the very thing he thought was going to be embarrassed, were shouting down the aisle that night in the church. I'm going to tell you what, when you don't want to let the Holy Ghost move in your church, you are an impediment that needs to be removed. God wants to move in his house. Can I get a witness in this place? We need to quit apologizing when the Holy Ghost shows up and begins to move in our midst. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I found out the very people that might be ashamed of it will come and tell me, I needed that. I needed that move. I needed that tongue. I needed that shout. Oh, God, I'm about to get rid of it. Amen. I'm telling you, if his message is not in the church, I'm a friend of the king. I know the king's heart, know the king's plans. I have access to the king's bedchambers in the middle of the night. I'm not going to bring anything here that he's not said to me. But if he said it, I don't care if the mayor's sitting out here, I'm going to preach it. Hallelujah. Christ, if he's in this church, will introduce himself to this church. He holds the seven stars. Amen. Which are the angels of the seven churches. He holds them authoritatively. Amen. What are we going to do with God's ministers? They will not be your puppets. He holds them in his hand. He sanctifies and qualifies his church. He rebukes its sinfulness but rewards its works. Christ and his power will always be available to his church. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. And when you get there, he'll be waiting on you. Christ offers three accommodations to this church. I know thy works. If I was some people, I would be worried about what Jesus sees in this house in our hour of worship. At my home church, we had this, I thank God for Pastor Becky, but we had this guy that was our minister of music. He'd bless everybody out for not worshiping with the singing. He'd go sit over there on the pew and go to sleep while the pastor preached. I'd turn the chair over on him. Hello. What are you saying? I'm just going to tell you, I think it's great to see everybody get excited up here, but the service ain't over because you go sit out there. I got pastors calling me. People are singing and leaving the services and not staying for preaching. They wouldn't be the leadership here. Amen. If I'm going to worship with your singing, you could sure worship with my preaching. Hello, somebody. The service ain't over. They're leaving the services and they think it's over. They're holding meetings in classrooms in the back. And they're asking, where's your... Listen, if I can't require it among leadership, I can't require it among any new convert that comes in these doors. You need to be under the word. And if you're not under the word, you're not anointed. I know musicians that play the drums and go out there and play on their cell phones, Facebook, while the word's being preached. Somebody needs to get saved. They're not born again. Hello, somebody. You serious? That's a heart attack and twice as deadly. I believe that when I worship in this house, it's the worship that gets you ready for the word, and it's the word that gets you ready for the altar. I'd be afraid of what Jesus sees walking the aisles of this church when you're planning what restaurants you're going to meet at instead of discerning what the word says for you to get in the altar and pray through. Well, it was hot in the prayer room. I guess I got to go ahead and chuck it now. He knows your works that are done by the agency. Let me tell you, folks, there's a difference in works and fruits. Works are through the efforts of the flesh. Fruits, the Holy Ghost using you, and you don't even know He's used you. A lot of us have works, but where's our fruit? Where's the souls? If you lose the desire to evangelize, and you lose the centrality of the Word of God, you'll die. We just closed another church in Isaiah up at Asheville. Overseer called me through a conference call. We closed it down. It was down to 8 members. It could no longer financially support itself. And you know what bugs me? Islam takes it over and packs it out. My God, and we sing We Got the Power. I'd like to see it show up sometime. Amen. I tell you what, He said, I know your labor. I know your labor. You've labored to the point of exhaustion, but you're second generation, but it's not coming out of your love for Jesus. You're doing it out of obligation. Tell you what, if you have come to know the Lord, you're going to have to pay a price. Amen. To come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something. But to serve Christ costs everything. Amen. Born in the midst of trial, Christ commended the church for its faithful works of Christian service. Service for Jesus Christ is work. Oh, yeah. It's joyous labor of love for the child of God who is abiding in Christ. I don't want to stand here, people, and say what a wearisome thing it is to serve the Lord. And let spiritual things become neglected, allow the tablecloths to become dirty and molded bread on the table, and no incense that rekindle your passion for praise, prayer, and worship. I won't do that. I want joy and gladness to come to my table. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to serve God with gladness, and I want to come before His presence with singing. Amen. It's this act, no act of service is too small for the Savior's notice. And no effort ever put forth in God is ever done in vain. The serving church, we sung it tonight. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses life for my sake shall find it. We know that salvation is by grace through faith, but it's only when we go on to good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. He knew their patience. They kept on having patience. I don't like praying for patience. I want it, and I want it now. But the word patience is a virtue the early church had. It was upomeno. God's gave me the ability to bear up under the load. They were a steadfast assembly. They could not bear them, which were evil. You can hate the sin, but still love the sinner. Can I get a witness? Oh, there ain't no love in that. You can hate the sin and still love the sinner. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God in this house. Amen. Move on. It was a separated church, the called out ones. A true church is in the world but not of it. The early church did not mix with loose Christians. Remember, do I have time? Paul was at Corinth, and there was a man that committed incest with his father's wife, and Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul be saved day of judgment. Don't fellowship with him, don't go out and eat with him till he repents. Did he not? The problem with church discipline is when I have to discipline somebody for their behavior, the church is at their home sitting on their couch, making the pastors look bad instead of their behavior that caused the problem. My Bible said, that's unchristlike. My Bible said, mark them that cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ and avoid them. And the word mark means give them a cold shoulder till they repent, till they get it right. Am I making any sense here? I'm telling you what, there are people that are causing risk takers, caretakers, undertakers. We got people that are causing division in our churches, and some of it's false doctrine. They're trying to promote doctrines that are not biblically based. And Paul said, mark them. Mark them. Why y'all treat me this way? Because you need to get this right. Amen. Oh, and let me tell you what, if it flew by Ephesus, it made it to the Asian world. If it flies by us, we ain't got no right to say anything. They abhorred that which was evil, and they challenged that was in theological error. Amen. And a true separated church from the world and is filled with the Spirit will practice church discipline. I've got a pastor in this area who pulled me aside at the Y. He had a fellow minister that became a homosexual in his church, sending out pictures through cell phones to people through his congregation. He had to deal with it by law. You know who the bad guy was? The pastor, not the guy that performed the act. Brokenhearted, began to be questioned by his own people instead of him being commended for him acting in righteousness and dealing with the problem. He said, Pastor, he's not even in my denomination. He said, Pastor, pray for me. I said, son, you did right, and God will honor you for taking the stand. You did right. A pure church tried them which said they were apostles. Let me tell you what. Anybody coming in here says, I'm called. We're going to see if you're called. I'm going to put you through a test. Amen. I can't help who got in before I got here. But I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to put you to a test. I don't want to know that your ministers of unrighteousness masqueraded yourself in the angelic attire, or a demon that's clothed himself in angel garments that gives off the appearance of light, causing many to be deceived. Come on now. Let me go ahead and lay it on the line here, baby. If you're the real deal, you won't be contradicting me in your Sunday school rooms by what you're teaching compared to what I'm teaching this church. Well, I heard God. God ain't going to give me a word and then give you one to contradict me. I'm sorry. The Bible says here, I think it was in 2 John. Turn there, 2 John. Let's go there and look. Did John act in love? We got a diatrephes spirit that says, I don't care what the pastor says. I got to be first and preeminent in all things. 2 John. Amen. Notice the text here. From the word, verses 7. For many deceivers have entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that which we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He hath abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Amen. My God. Can somebody thank God for discernment? Discernment. People say, how do you know the difference between the truth and the false? Because I handle the real all day long. Ask the banker, how can you tell the real from the counterfeit? She handles the real all day long. She knows the difference. If you forsake the doctrine of Christ, you forsake Christ. And you leave Christ. Because you ain't got it right about Christ, you ain't got it right about God. Amen. To those of you that don't believe in the incarnation, the virgin birth, the substitutionary offering of Christ. Can I preach here? Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the substitutionary offering of Christ. And they don't believe that Jesus was equal with the Father. It was only a title. I got news for you. He's more than a carpenter's son. He's more than a prophet. He's the Son of the living God. And if I leave him, I've left Jesus. I've left God. And I know people have challenged me on this in the past. Don't do that. You'll lose, and lose royally, you will. I'm telling you, I believe. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Corinthians about another Jesus, another gospel, another Holy Spirit, one different than what's revealed in the book. And I'm going to say this, and we're worshiping more the Jesus of the culture than we are Jesus of the Bible. Well, my Jesus wouldn't act that way. He wasn't tolerant of sin in the life of the church or the life of the sinner. God never did get mad at sinners, but he did get mad at church people who use this house for their own purposes. Oh, yeah, a lot of that going on. My God, have mercy. Watch out for that twisted, distorted things. Like whether or not Christians can become demon-possessed. Watch out. You know what they're trying to do? To gain authority over believers. That's why the writer said, you have an unction from the Holy One. You need not that any man should teach you. You know, I don't need some charlatan to come around and tell me who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. And the anointing keeps me tied into the anointed one, and it gives me discernment to know the truth from the false. Amen. Satan so tares among the wheat right after Pentecost. Some disguise themselves as apostles. My God. I've had them call me. I got a word for you. Who's your pastor? Don't have one. Let me help you, sweets. In the New Testament, you do not find a prophet outside the context of being under a pastor. Not even Revelation. If you're really a prophet, you'll have no problem submitting to the pastor. I love Kent Clement, true prophet of God. Told him where he could find Saddam Hussein. Prophesied of the soldier busting his jaw. Found it like he said. He said this one day, though I operate in the apostolic and the prophetic, I got to have the pastoral to complete my gift. You are nothing without the office of the pastor. And I, as a pastor, I've got to discern the gifts that are in my people. I got to begin to watch for it. See, let me tell you, I don't care that you disagree with me, just don't rebel. If you can disagree and keep cooperating, you got hearts after God. But if you disagree and rebel, you're in rebellion. And you're acting like an old witch. I didn't mean to spook anybody. That's what Samuel said about Saul. When he thought it'd be better if, he said, you're acting like an old witch. Obedience is better than a sacrifice and to hearken to the fat of rams. I'm going to tell you, amen. They get mad in the church and they adopt that song, I shall not be moved. And they practice it 3 times a week and I'm sick of it. Holy Ghost can't even move them. Why should I worry about them? False apostles brought the bondage of the law and attempted to bring the church back into legalism by claiming they were apostles. There are no new revelations, just perversions of the old. They proved they were liars. And when we are intolerant of evil, it is a spiritual virtue that needs to come back to the church. Not going to tolerate that. Can I just, don't want y'all going to sleep on me, but I love your kids. And I'm being very careful what I preach in this house, because they're going to quote me. But you don't need to call yourself a pastor if you can lead children astray in the church. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen. All they want to do is bring you under their power. That's all they're wanting to do. And I tell you one thing, I don't want that spirit of tolerance on me. There are many that are going about disguised as servants of Jesus Christ. I have a lot of men that call me, do you have any recommendations who I can use for revival? And the first question they ask is, who's their pastor? I'm going to tell you this much, you better hear me. If you can't promote revival under me, with me, I will not give you recommendation to go to another church. If you won't listen to me, why should I recommend you for further responsibilities? Am I preaching here? I had a woman got mad at me because I wouldn't give her evangelist license. She attacked my wife. I took her out of the Sunday school complex, and she was a different color. She had racism from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She'd walk into church, and if we didn't chase her in the hallway, thought we were racist. And I went by her class. I said, if you ain't going to listen to me, you ain't going to teach. She was sitting there with her books open. I said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not teaching. I said, I know you're not teaching. You're done. I took her out of the class. And she came back and gave my wife a full-blown apology. And I still didn't put her back in. Now you got to prove yourself. Y'all think I'm being too hard? I don't think I've been too hard enough around here. I've been too easy on some of you. I really have. I really have been way too tolerant. And you know, I came here, I want to get along with everybody. I want everybody to like me. But there's just some things I can't stand. If you want to get me ticked, don't go there. I'll call it out. In a Sunday morning service, I will. I believe in order. And I do believe that. I believe... Here it is. There are many today that are seeking their own personal gain. When me and Pastor Becky went to East Coast Bible College, we're not going to say how long ago that was. But we had guys that graduated with us that got out there in the workplace and started getting adjusted to a certain income. And then when God kicked the door open for that small church that nobody else wanted, they did not want to make the sacrifice. You'll be surprised, people that went through 4 years of Bible college with us, that they are not doing anything in the name of ministry. Why? Because that. Everybody wants one world religion regardless of your faith. It's all just get along. Ain't going to happen. Hey, amen. This trend will continue till the Lord comes. We have every right to test men to see if they are of God. I went into AutoZone the other day, and I was shocked. They said, do you know Pastor so-and-so? Don't ring a bell. Pastor so-and-so, they attend your church. Never heard of them. If there's another pastor in this house, I think I'm going to know him. We have every right. And I'm going to tell you what. Can I say this? And I want you to hear me. The door in the past has been open for anything to crawl through in this church. Whether they believed in your doctrine or they didn't. Snakes. Unruly behavior. When their teachings are not consistent with God's word, they need to be rejected. I'm on boards and committees that set forth men to the ministry that receive credentialing, and if they have unconditional eternal security issues, they never make it to exhorter when I'm on that board. They never do. I shut it down. Because if they'll do that there, what are they going to do when they get a pulpit? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just know the book. Amen. Not much time for foolishness. It was an enduring church. They were a consistent church. Buddy, I want that. Amen. That enduring through its entire history, faithfully proclaiming the Lord, has borne, not faint-hearted, courageously presenting the gospel of Christ, has patience. They've become steadfast, unswerving in their fulfillment to Christ's will. For my name's sake, they have labored and has not fainted. They had not fainted or grown weary. And for the name of Jesus, they had been driven from the synagogue, and this persecution had lasted for more than 50 years. Amen. There came a time that if you said you believed on Christ, you were kicked out of the synagogue. But when they kicked him out, the Lord of the temple came and found him. Amen. We know this. They were persecuted by the worshipers of Diana. They had not given up or compromised with it. But the Lord said, I've got somewhat against you because you've left your first love. The actual translation says, thy first love thou hast left. They had not departed completely from their love for God. Their love for God no longer had the fervency, the depth, the meaning it once had, even though they had been faithful. They were still existing. Still coming out, going through the motions. But they were not sick and in love. They allow the most wonderful relationship in the world to become commonplace. Can I say this? We're moments away from the rapture. I don't want to come out and just exist and go through the motions. I want there to be a fervency about my love, a passion. My love without dissimulation, no sense of hypocrisy. Let there be a love to be so. When I come up and hug you, I want it to be real. Not tell you I love you and stab you in the back, walk over your dead bleeding body and never think twice about it. I want there to be a love there that can be sensed and detected, because sinners can tell the difference. Yes, they can. Oh, God, how mercy. This generation of apostles had passed from the scene. And I tell you what, and I don't want to cause any mixed feelings, but we lost a general the other week that had been a source of wisdom to your church. And now he sits at a table. Great God. But my question to you is, who's going to take up the mantle of a Clarence Irvin Burris? The ardor they once possessed had grown cold. Amen. Can I tell you, I don't care if I'm on the track at the Y. I don't care if I'm pumping iron. I don't care where I'm at. You bring a conversation of Jesus Christ up with me, and we're going to have a time. Why? Because I'm lovesick. I am in love with my Lord. Come on now. It ain't fake. It is the real deal. Hello. How do you hide passion? How do you hide it? Don't take each other for granted. Don't let your faith become what was once an acute fever become a dull habit. When life becomes routine, the marriage is in danger. That's true in the natural. But when I'm going to tell you what, when my walk with God becomes just mundane and routine, I am in trouble. Nothing exciting to look forward to, nothing exciting, no adventure. Buddy, I'm telling you something. If you don't come to church expecting something, you ain't got a right to leave disappointed. There's got to be a depth to this thing. And that's the way they were following Pentecost. There was a love that could be sensed and could be detected. Amen. This period that followed Acts 2 was characterized by love and devotion to Christ. A love for the Word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. A love that manifested itself in the fellowship of the saints. We wanted to be together. There was no see you next week. They were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. The love that characterized that first generation was missing. There was a love for his appearing. They would greet one another and say, Maranatha, our Lord cometh. Cooling off of the heart led to apathy that erased the testimony of Christian influence, which later, Sardis, the church was dead. And Laodicea, the Lord wasn't even in the church. So you could see through dispensationally how everything's beginning to intertwine. And begin, me and Doug Small, we got off on it the other day about didn't get. It was on. I want to talk to you. I'm not talking to the Baptists here. I'm not talking to the Assembly of God. I'm talking to Highest Praise. I want to talk about cooling off. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy than me. The love of God has been replaced by a love for the world. Amen. How about those of late that have come in here and got prophesied over? And next Sunday you can't find them. They hit the floor. Who are they in love with now? Come on now. The result was compromise of spiritual corruption followed by a departure from the faith and a loss of effective spiritual testimony. And by the way, we overcome the enemy of the blood of the Lamb by the word of our testimony. It's your story. Why don't you tell it? Amen. Oh, God, how mercy. But you know where it starts? A deterioration. That's amazing. When I first got saved, the world hated me. Then I started experimenting with the world and had friendship with the world. Hello, somebody. And when that happened, I became cast out with the world. I'm telling you what, buddy, a church that's in love with Christ cannot be hid. I'm not here because you pay me. I'm here because I love God. I'm not here to worship because somebody's got a gun pointed at my back. I'm here to worship because I know I got to face the devil Monday morning, and I am sick and in love, and I want to worship my Lord. I tell you what, they had lost that love that characterized their early experience in Christ, their loyalty to Christ and to Paul, that caused them to separate themselves from the old life. This is more than about getting your sins forgiven. It's about a commitment to righteousness. Had to have it. Move on here for a moment. I'm enjoying myself. I might go get pizza after church. I don't know. Here's a lot of the Church of God right now. You ready? We're going to tell everybody where we don't go, what we don't do, what we don't wear. But we neglect adoration and intimacy. Labor, you know, for years, we thought it was only the external that mattered. You don't do this, you don't wear that, you don't go here, you don't go there. Then the pendulum, and we said the attitude don't matter. Now the pendulum's come way over here. And now we're saying as long as they've got a good attitude, don't matter what it looks like on the outside. But I want to tell you what, holiness is not just external and it's not just internal, it's both. And whenever the pendulum goes to one or two extremes, truth is not found at either end. It's got to come back to a balance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord, I can't see your heart, baby. I got to watch your attitudes, your behavior, your commitment. And by their fruits ye shall know them. Oh, Lord, neither. Go back to that one more time. I got to give that to you. This is too good. Labor is not a substitute for love. Church busy work is not a sign that you're of the kingdom. What did Christ say? Many will come to me in that day saying, not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord. Many will say, in thy name we've cast out devils, we've healed the sick, we've prophesied in thy name. And the Lord said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You can have church busy work and not have fruits of the Spirit and miss heaven. Purity is not a substitute for passion. I got a lot of people that, boy, they so tight, they squeak when they walk. But there's no passion to come to an altar to get more of God and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The church must have both if it's going to please God. Boy, that's good. Move on here for a second. Love motivation. What happened to the thrill of being converted to Christ? I'll tell you what, that thrill's got to be guarded by submission to the Holy Spirit throughout your Christian experience, because I'm going to tell you what, you can lose the joy of it. Amen. When a busy, sacrificing, separated church has heart trouble, you got works, you got labor, and you got patience, to only find out your motivation's not love. no rapture. Move on. Deal with your decline. Remember from whence thou art fallen. The Greek said, keep on remembering what you've lost and cultivate a desire to regain that. Are y'all doing that? What are you doing to regain what you've lost? Oh, I'm unconditionally, eternally secure. Good luck. You got to go back and recall your faithfulness of earlier years. Some of you do good to get here on Sunday morning only, and I can't find you the rest of the week. And there was a day you never missed a service. You better take inventory. My dad always preached to me, son, if the devil gets you, he'll get you through lightness. My wife will tell you I am very hard on me. If I don't, I'll fall out altogether. Paul said, I buffet my body. Not buffet, but I buffet. And there's a need for this 20th century church. Amen. Move on here for a moment. Amen. Deal with it. Amen. Turn your back from your coldness and indifference. Listen, you can't blame your lack of fervency on anybody in this house. This is about Jesus. My God, if some of you were up and down as you are in church with your spouse, you'd be divorced by next week. I'm just being honest about it. A true love for Christ will always manifest and works that it produces. If you've got love, you'll have works. You'll be a peculiar people. Don't mean you're oddball. It means you're unique because of who you belong to. A peculiar people, zealous, heated to the bull in the pursuit of doing good. Amen. When you are in love. When you are in love. I told Debbie the other day, what I don't want is for me and her to grow old together. And when the kids are gone, us sitting on opposite ends of the house, not having to know how to talk to each other anymore. I've been in revival with pastors and their wives, and they've drove me to meetings. She didn't talk to him. He didn't talk to her. I was going, my God, if I wish somebody would have grunted. It took the pressure off me. I don't want to live that way. I'd rather live by myself the rest of my days. Amen. Hello, somebody. I want to know that I've got it going on with the kids in the house, and I've got it going on with her when the kids are gone. Amen. A true love will manifest itself in works it produces. Amen. Move on here for a moment. Correct any departure from God. Are we doing that? Have you gone back to your place of departure? You got to get back in where you got out at. Where did I take the wrong road? I told God one day, I don't want to be out of place in your house. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, as long as you're right with me, you'll never be out of place in my house. They were to remember the ardor, the passion, the enthusiasm that once gripped their hearts. I remember when they used to raise their hands, that meant Holy Ghost and fire. Now they do it and they're yawning and stretching in church because they're bored. Joy, remember the joy and the satisfaction that was theirs in Christ. Many times defection comes when we forget what we have once known. I don't fault people that just got on board this thing. Among those that handle dynamite, the fatality rates are greater among those who have been around it the longest. The newcomers respect it. And 100 different times the word dunamis is used, dynamite, in the New Testament, Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive dunamis. Church, hear me, you're playing with dynamite and it'll kill you. You're going to have to understand that we got to go back and capture that joy. Remember when you got saved, everybody looked better. My God, even the drunk thinks everybody looks better when they're drunk. When you get saved, dear God, everybody looks better. And you can look at me and tell there could be some improvement. Amen. Correct your fallen condition. If you compromise your love for Christ, you will fall. This can only be corrected by repentance. not by you switching churches and switching your membership. Ooh, did I say that? See, some of you lose your excitement and you think, now it's time for me to switch churches. No, they don't need your mess. Anywhere you put manure, it destroys all fertility in the ground. Unsavory salt, you can bury on the pile of manure, nothing will grow there. Amen. Renew those earlier manifestations that you once knew. Get them renewed. Get them going again. Best place to start is a good old-fashioned prayer meeting. Amen. Get it going again. Get it going again. You know what? When the Pharisees got mad at Jesus, because when he showed up in the bridal chambers, there was laughter and there was celebration and everybody was happy, and they thought the funeral should have been going on. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn when the bridegroom is with them? There'll come a day he'll be taken away, then he'll mourn. They'll mourn. But while he's in the bridal chambers, there ought to be joy and laughter and celebration. We need to renew those earlier. Are you with me? I'm going to let you go in a minute. I'm hitting one church a night. Move on here for a moment. Do your first works. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The one who excuses lack of concentration only proves by his conduct that he does not love the Lord. If our love for Christ is what it should be, then no task is too great, no sacrifice is too much. I hope I go to church the rest of my life till the day God calls me home. Amen. Hallelujah. He gives them an ultimatum. I'm going to finish it up, or else I'll come to thee quickly and I'll remove the candlestick out of his place. How would you like God to tell you, either you repent, get it right, or I'll wipe the church out of the town? Danger of losing their light. When you lose your love, you lose your light. Amen. Remember when you fell in love with your spouse, men, the twinkle in your eye? Well, y'all been married too long, I guess. Hello, think about it. Ricky, still got it? Still. I got tickled at Danny this morning when he told Karen. He said, I feel like I've been married for 2 years. Karen said, what do you mean? Explain yourself. Here's what I'm saying, folks, and I want you to hear me. God will not tolerate a loveless church. He won't. I hate to say this, but there's people. Jesus told the Pharisees, I know what kind of people you are, and I know you have no love for God in your hearts. Do you really think he knows when we're doing this because he's expecting this of us, in comparison us doing it because we're in love? God, you cannot sit here. Listen to me, God, have mercy. You cannot sit here in this church and keep going through the rituals and going through the motions and no change and go in the rapture. Can't. He's not coming back for a church that's got past experiences. You better have a present experience you want to go in the rapture. You better love the Lord. Let me tell you, I got friends of mine that are in the trenches, buddy. They're going through it. I know Daniel Gamble's going through it right now. A lot of these young guys, we got undertakers that are killing these men. The only thing that keeps me going is if I keep this renewed by the Spirit and by the Word. And if I do, I don't care if the devil himself comes and sits on that front row while I preach. I have an anointing to cast him out. When I am in love, and love motivates me, and when I care enough about your soul to tell you the truth, a hireling's going to lie to you, but a pastor's going to tell you the truth, he will not come back for a loveless church. He will not do it. Amen. Again, I want to tell you this. The church would be without his presence, without light. All church of Ephesus is today is a heap of stones with no light in them. And there's no evidence that the fastest growing church of the first century was here. The city itself is uninhabited. It's in ruins. And silt has filled the harbor. And there's no industry. I'll tell you, can I preach here? I'm going to hear me. Why do I say that? going to anyway. If the church dies with its light, your industry will close. Go to Hosea. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know what happened? The fishing industry, God said, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. The fishing industry collapsed because the knowledge of God left the land. But when they found God, the industry came back. The fish returned to the shore. You know what the problem in America is? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. If we forget God, our economy will fall. And you know what? The judgment of God will fall on America when we are at the zenith of our prosperity. Amen. God help me. Move on to that last one. I want to get this in. Let me say this. This is what happens when the candlesticks remove. Are you ready? And I'm going to let you go. But God, I hope I've said something tonight. How does God punish churches that decline spiritually and tolerate immorality? Number one, they have lost their position in the kingdom. He said, they which do such things, Galatians 5, shall not inherit the kingdom. Number two, you can lose your position in the kingdom by your behavior. By the way, your flesh can't produce the fruit of the Spirit, only the works of the flesh. Two, you will lose the presence of God that has attracted people to the church. I'm going to tell you, baby, if his presence is gone, ain't no program you going to offer. Thirdly, I got a word for you. Either you're going to have revival or you're going to face judgment. I'm just going to tell you. I'm a prophet. I'm not a playboy. Either we're going to have revival or we're going to face dark days ahead. Amen. I know churches right now that are out of debt, that pastors are begging for more money and because the members are not tithing. Beautiful building, but Ichabod's over the door of their church. And they don't even know he's gone. I'm watching churches lose the genuine power of the Holy Ghost. Probably because it's not a priority, we'd be filled with the Spirit anymore. I'm sorry, Jesus and the apostles used the imperative. It was a command. It's not an optional lifestyle. You can't have a Pentecostal church with leaderships that are not Pentecostal. And I can't have a Pentecostal church if the pastor behind this pulpit is not Pentecostal. But we don't see that in our church. Your pastor don't preach on it either. Can I be honest and up front? I love Brandon over here. His girlfriend can't come back here because we speak in tongues. And our mama don't want to discuss it. But they don't quit preaching from Paul and Peter. That's why I'm through getting members out of other churches. I'm going to get them out of sin. Because when we get them converted, they won't be offended over the power of God. I'll tell you what else will happen. You will lose the biblical message of salvation. You will not be a gatekeeper. You will not open the door and sweep souls into the kingdom anymore because you're not in the kingdom. You don't operate in the kingdom. Amen. You will lose the protection of God from Satan's destruction. That car that should have hit you will hit you. That wreck that should have happened will happen. Because when you're under the presence of God, there's a protection that goes further than a church service. That goes home. When that drug dealer walks up to my kids, there's an angel of God standing over. Oh my God, have mercy. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what will happen. Your leaders will come under judgment. So really, I don't have an option. Either we're going to have revival or look for judgment. And you know where it's going to start? In the house of God. And if we barely get by the skin of our teeth, where's the ungodly and the sinner going to appear? God will be an unjust judge. Let his wrath fall on the world if his house ain't cleaned up. That's why things are being flushed up that you never thought you would hear out of people. Why are pastors having things for little boys? Why are leaders becoming home? Let me tell you, there ain't no queer bone here. I'm 100% prime time, red-blooded American man.
Amen.
I say something wrong? I'm tired of tight pants, lip. Well, I guess we can't have fun. They're demon possessed. They need the devil cussed out of them. Well, God made me that way. No, 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 no. It started with knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, and it took you to the level of a beast that you ain't quit falling since. I'm going to tell you what, it's a sick man that wants to be with another man when there's so many good-looking women walking around, and I'm married to one of them sitting over here. You're weird. I went to CC's Pizza one night, and some fruitcake sitting right there with his leopard skin outfit and his high heel shoes said, "Don't mess with me, I'm gay." I said, "I wouldn't think of it." My brother-in-law, you ain't met Sam. He's 6'7", black belt. A guy come into the mall in the parking lot and said, "I want you." Sam put his head through the windshield. "You got me. No more problem. No more problem. Hallelujah." You know what's sick with America? Did you just hit him? You know what's sick with America right now? We'll give homosexuals more respect than we will a prophet of God on a stage to proclaim the word. I'm sick of that mess. Shambach was on Phil Donahue. He said, "Donahue, what do you consider to be the greatest miracle?" He said, "For you to fall down on your knees and give your heart and life to Jesus right now." Shook the whole place up. Amen. Just don't touch. Hey, folks, I was born on Straight Street, and they don't come no straighter. Hallelujah. Debbie, quit blushing. She worked for a man in Memphis. And I said, "He's queer?" "No, he's not. He's a doctor. He's queer. He had the sex change. And now he's got hormones, his face disfigured, he's got a lip rinse, a wrist, and wears a pink dress, and he's ugly." And I had to pray at a church service with 650 firemen and police officers, and he popped his head in the door and said, "Wayne, I enjoyed your prayer." I said, "Glad you enjoyed it, but you ain't touching me." Him and his wife are sisters now as they walk out of the store, and his kids are under ridicule. And he's the football physician for the high school football team. All I have to say is pink underwear and I'd be out of there. Y'all get it out of your system. I know you want to fall over. Hallelujah. Lose the protective hedge from Satan's destruction. I got to quit. Y'all won't come back and hear me next time. Yeah. How long did it take Jacob to realize that he didn't have Rachel, but he had Leah? My Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, there's perversion in the church. There is perversion. And when our children cannot walk the halls of our churches without men burning in lust for our kids, that needs to be discerned. Yeah. The devil cast out, or them leave the church one. Your kids ought to be safe in this church. My God, how mercy. Can I say amen to that? Amen to that. Hallelujah. We got homosexuals getting saved now, and the right desires are being woke up. Thank God that's happening. Amen. Right desires are coming back. Dear God. I believe when Adam looked at Eve, he said she was called woman because she was taken from the man. I don't want to look over and see some yellow belly. Buddha. Shut your mouth. Hallelujah. Hello. Any red-blooded American men around here? If not, come in, we'll cast the devil out of you. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you that we can have fun in the house of God and still get our point across. We got a whole lot more here, but God, time would not permit. But God, I pray that God's sin has an insanity about it. When you cast 6,000 demons out of Legion, he was sitting clothed in the feet of Jesus, right mind. I pray for your blessings upon this time of study. Because God, I don't want to leave my first love. I want to come back to first works and first fruits. And I want fruits to be the evidence of the life that I have within me. And I want to give birth to some things in the kingdom. Because after all, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are there any lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house? Any lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house? Don't lose it. Hold on to it. My God, it's deliberate. I mean to be in love with him. It's intentional. The rapture's getting me to take place. We're fixing to leave here, and the trump of God is about to sound. Hallelujah. God, have mercy. In the name of the Lord. Paul said it like this, if any man be not a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, anathema, let him be condemned to hellfire damnation. And then he said, Maranatha, our Lord cometh. If anybody here is not a lover of Jesus, anathema, let him be condemned to hellfire damnation. But let me stop there and tell you, Maranatha, our Lord cometh. Amen. Any lovers of Jesus in this house? How many of you are ready to walk up in a meeting? Why does it take a prostitute to tell us how to have church? My God, she wasn't even supposed to be there, but love wouldn't let her stay away. And she came, and she let down her hair. Her hair was her glory. And she stooped down and washed his feet with her tears. Wiped them with her hair and poured her love out on Christ. Don't ever look at me and say, you ain't got a right to act that way when you don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know what it took me to get where I'm at. It took a tongue like I ain't never prayed in, took a prayer like I ain't never prayed, and took a level of worship like I ain't never experienced. But I am lovesick with my Lord. And I don't want to do anything that hurts him. And I don't mind talking about somebody I'm in love with. My God, how mercy. Hallelujah. Do you love him? My God, I hope I'm not abusing your time tonight, but I just tell you, we need to pour our love out on Jesus. You want to go in the rapture? You better have it right. I'm in love. I'm not here because I'm required. I'm here because I'm in love. I'm not here because somebody made me to be here. I'm here because I loved him. He raised me from the dead. He's got a right to say how my life ought to be spent. I'm in love with my Lord. And I'm fixing to go to a 7-year honeymoon. And I'll be back riding on a white horse. My God, with my Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Any lovers of Jesus? I tell you, if some of you get your love right, you'd get the Holy Ghost. Get your love right, you'd get the kingdom. You'd get the fullness. He said, if you'll love me, he said, me and the Father will come and manifest ourselves to you. Won't you stand up a minute? I just want to tell you something. God right now is healing the fluid in your legs. Love him. This ain't about nobody else's business, Judy. God right now is doing a healing, restorative work in your legs. Hallelujah. He's putting the catheter in that'll drain off the fluid. In the name of Jesus, I sent you in this house. Hallelujah. Be healed. See, we got a love problem in it. We don't love him. We tolerate him. Can I say this? We are so worried about getting in here, getting it over with, and getting out that door. And we don't pour our love out on Jesus. Some of you got a religious spirit. And it ain't the kingdom. You're not the only one God's going to heal tonight in this house. I'm telling you what. God forbid that as long as I'm seen, I'm happy. Hide me behind the shadow of a cross. I don't have to be seen. My God, I just sense Jesus in this house. Can I pray for somebody else that needs a healing touch? My God, love him. Come loving him. Come loving him. Come loving him. If we get our love right, you would have to have the evangelist call you out and lay hands on you. The Father and the Son would come. Charlene? On the count of three, I'm fixing to lay my hands on you. And the very power that raised Jesus up from, you came to me tonight and you asked me, how can I get what you've got when you preach? It ain't mine to give, only the Father. But I'll tell you what I sense, Clarence, get ready, because I'm telling you what, the very power that raised, thank you, Aaron, that raised Jesus from the dead is fixing to go through your legs. You say, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. I do. If you get your love right, he'll come reveal himself to you. God ain't through. There's somebody else here. The anointing of God is in the house right now. Love is the key. If you'll come pouring your love on Christ. Listen, I've left here and I've went home frustrated service after service. And I don't know if I came and died at your feet. I'm not sure it would matter. But I'm telling you, I feel this from the Lord. If you'll get your love right, you can get whatever you've come for. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing. My God, because God's all about a church that's sick and in love. Now I want you to do something for me. I want you to do things that you were unable to do before. That same anointing that said, rise, take up thy bed and walk, is telling you to go home with your bed on your back. Shake off that thing and live, sister. Live. 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 If some of us get our love right, you'd receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost behind the wheel of a car. When you're washing dishes behind the sink. Because when you begin to love on Him, He can't stay away. He's got to come around. My God, and make Himself known. I am a church. I tell you what I want you to do next Wednesday, next Sunday. Come to pour your love out on Christ. Come to break your alabaster box. Come get it, bud. Break it. Let the odor fill the whole house. And let a hooker show you how to have a church. You bunch of tight. Let down your glory. Kiss His feet. And just pour your love out on Him a little bit. Love Him. 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 You know what, Debbie? The Holy Ghost is here for you to receive, sis. Just pour your love out on Jesus, and He'll come and manifest Himself. He'll make Himself known in the name of Jesus. Tell Him, I've come to pour my love out on Christ. Are there any lovers in this house? Any lovers in this house? Any lovers in this house? If love goes, our light will go out. We got to be a church that's in love with our Lord. My God, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to lose my position in the kingdom. I'm not going to lose the presence of Christ. I'm not going to lose the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Why? I'm in love with my Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Tell the devil, I'm in love. Tell the enemy, I'm in love. Debbie, what the devil has meant for evil, God is fixing to turn around and use it for your good. There's going to be a reversal in your situation. And it's going to be the Lord's doing, and it's going to be marvelous in your eyes. Today is the day of salvation. And right now is the accept. Somebody needs to love on the Lord. Love on Him. Alpha, Omega, beginning, and first, last. He that liveth and was dead. And behold, He's alive forever. Somebody pour your love out on Christ. My God, would somebody tell the Lord you love Him in this house? Just raise your hand. Tell the Lord you love Him. Grandma may be gone. Grandpa may have went on to his reward. But there's a generation here that still loves Him. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I love You, Lord, in the same old-fashioned way. And if I live to be 100, I'll still love You in the same old-fashioned way. I still love You. I still love You. I still love You.